Minutes remaining in this game. Slavkovsky. Slavkovsky gets pinned there momentarily by Zou. Here's Stützle again flying up the ice. Number 18 for Ottawa. Plays it off for Tkachuk. Stützle goes down, and now Anderson. Anderson engages here with Tkachuk. And I don't think they're going to throw any bombs here.
Yeah, for sure, and I don't like it. We play these guys lots, and we'll look at some of the stuff there. But at the end, I mean, Timmy's a tough player. We know that last year, when everyone thought that he fell down there, he ended up missing 10 days and he couldn't walk. He's a tough kid, and he'll take hits, but we don't want other players targeting our guys. And we'll be ready the next time.
Now, I promised Pierre McGuire would take a deep look at the Canadiens' forward group ahead of one more exhibition game, the finale, against those guys again, Ottawa tomorrow, New Brunswick, and then they start for real Wednesday against Toronto. But in light of those comments from an organization that he worked with and a guy, a coach, that I know he has a lot of respect for, I'd be curious about how he feels about this simmering feud already between Tim Stützle and the Montreal Canadiens. Pierre McGuire, how you doing?
I'm excellent, Mitch. Hello from Hamilton, New York, home of Colgate University. They play Northern Michigan tonight, so I'm looking forward to scouting that game. But I will tell you this right now. DJ Smith is an elite coach. He's not a little bit good. He's really good. He has worked his tail off to create organizational standards in Ottawa that are outstanding. I have a ton of respect for him, Davis Payne, Jack Capuano. That coaching staff is outstanding. They're not a little bit good. They're really good. I can tell you, because I was part of Ottawa's team last year, the thing in Montreal with Stützle, he was out for 10 days. He was legitimately hurt. And all the fictitious reporting, that was shameful. That was shameful.
Well, I think
that kid was legitimately hurt. Legitimately hurt.
Yeah, Pierre, of course, if you don't recall, it was the Brendan Gallagher comments after the game that he does that a lot, that he falls down a lot. He does embellish. Pierre, we've seen it before. Brad Marchand, brilliant player. He had to grow up a little at some point. We saw it here with PK Subban. Do you acknowledge that Stützle at some point is going to have to cut that stuff out?
Yeah, but I don't think that he's embellishing stuff. Like last year, I can tell you that hit, he didn't embellish that. He was legitimately hurt. And I've known Timmy, and I respect Timmy a lot. I think Timmy is an outstanding player, a star player. Tim Stützle is a star player in the league. He's not a little. If Montreal Canadiens had Tim Stützle, you'd be like, whoa, Suzuki and Stützle back to back. Jack, thanks for coming. That's legit. That's really good.
There's already some chemistry, clearly, that has developed between Stützle and Claude Giroux.
To start, yeah. Now we'll see. Long term, this is one of the things I always admired about you, Mitch. You were not a big proponent of exhibition hockey. You just didn't like it.
No.
we call them preseason games. We don't call them exhibition games because it's a preseason game. Now, I'm not putting too much into what's gone on around the league. I think some teams have grossly underachieved. I know some management groups are really nervous about the way their teams have played in preseason so far, and I know others are overhyping their team. So I think it's important to just measure everything. But I would say this, to be fair, the chemistry with Claude and Tim Stützle and Giroux is outstanding. It's so far very outstanding. Yes.
Okay, so John Still has seen every, unlike me, especially early exhibition, I don't pay any attention to the early exhibition games. The further along we go, the more I pay attention. I've watched the last couple. I'll watch tomorrow. If not live, I'll tape it. Two things stand out to me from a positive standpoint for the Canadiens forwards. That is that Brendan Gallagher looks like the old Brendan Gallagher, and Sean Monahan looks healthy.
So there are three players that have to go back to the 2019 season and look at what they did. One is Sean Monahan, career year for him. One is Josh Anderson, career goal-scoring year for him. And one is Brendan Gallagher. If those three guys can get to the same levels they were at in the 2018-2019 season, the Montreal Canadiens are going to be way better than what the prognosticators are saying. If they can't, it's going to be a problem. But let's just talk about Brendan for a second. He has put his heart and soul into the Montreal Canadiens, and he is somebody that I know he had a problem with Stützle last year, and I was part of the other side. and I was trying to calm down the other side. But I also had to say, Brendan got that wrong. He did. He got it wrong. But I would tell you this. If I had a chance to run a team and I had a chance to have a player like that, I would take that player. I think that player cares so much about winning, cares so much about being a leader, does all the right things. It's hard to say. Now, is he undersized? Yes. Has he put his heart on and played it out there on his sleeve? Yes, he has. Is he going to be the same player that he was in 2018, 2019? No, he won't. No, he won't. He won't. But if he can get 15 to 17 goals this year, that'd be huge. That'd be huge.
No, he's got to score more than that.
I don't think he will.
A healthy Gallagher won't score 20, you don't think?
No, it depends on the power play, Mitch. It really does. It's going to be, you know, again, people forget. It's not a knock on Brendan. It's father time. It's a size factor. It's the beating that he's taken. Not that easy. Guys just don't float in and out, and they say, oh, yeah, I'm going to get it back this year. Go look at his numbers from 2019 to today. Well, go look at them and tell me what you think.
I think he will score more than 20. Longer term, I mean, that's we all know the contract that they're locked into. That's tough.
Here's what we're going to do.
Yep.
Friendly wager. I think less than 20. You think more than 20.
You love the player, but he'll score less than 20. I'm winning this bet, but I'll have to wait to cash in. John?
Well, okay, I'm with Pierre on this one, so I also think he's going to score less than 20 this year.
Well, then you can help me pay it off then.
That's fine. Pierre, another thing that I liked from last night, though, was Gallagher and Doc seemingly getting something going. I know you were just talking about Suzuki and Stützle. That would be a heck of a pairing for the Canadians down the middle. I don't know if it's going to be Suzuki and Doc as soon as this year. I think Christian Dvorak maybe fills in at second line to start things off. But what have you made of Kirby Doc's preseason, and what do you think – what do you think are the possibility that he can reach being maybe a 60-65 point centerman in this league?
Oh, I think he can do that. I don't think it's going to happen this year, but I think Kirby can do that. His last year junior in Saskatoon, he was really good. He was really, really good. He got rushed into the NHL on a bad team. He really did. That being said, he had a chance to learn it at the hand of Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane. And I've been around that group, as Mitch Melnick knows, for a very long time. Anytime you get a chance to learn from players like that, I think it's important. So I think Kirby can be that 60 to 65, even 70-point player. I do not think Kirby Doc will ever be a point-a-game player, but I think he'll be close to that, which is great. But this year, I don't know if that will happen. The one thing I will say, as the season goes along, and this is not a knock on Christian Dvorak, but in a perfect world, Christian is a number three center. That's his ceiling. He's not above that. So if he's playing in the three hole, you have a chance to be competitive. If he's playing in the two hole, chances are you're not going to be as competitive.
Well, for most of the camp, it has been Dvorak, Gallagher, and Dodonov as kind of the third line. And that's a, you know, I don't put much stock in. In preseason, a lot of people are all over Dodonov. He hasn't looked good, but he's a veteran, and it's preseason. He's an offensive player, right?
Easy. Take a deep breath.
He's an offensive player. He's going to score 20 goals.
I was part of the management team that traded him out of Ottawa.
Okay, so you're not a fan of Dodonov, but you look at his
because I think his better days are behind him. He's 33 years old. Doesn't mean he's a bad player. Does not mean that, but his compensation is almost $6 million a year, U.S. And in the time that I was there, we could not do that. So we traded him for Nick Holden, and we saved our ownership almost $10.5 million.
Well, he's going to be flipped. There's no question he's going to be moved. The question is, can he be effective enough to attract something other than a fourth-round pick at the deadline?
Maybe. Let's see where it goes. That being said, Dadnoff is a player that had a tremendous run in Florida. Really, really good. But this is different. This is Montreal. The bright lights are on him. The expectation is high. And the dollar value is extremely high for a player like that. It's extremely high.
Okay, here's a key question, because it's really not about this season for the Montreal Canadiens. Big picture with these two guys especially, Suzuki and Caulfield. In time, will they be a legitimate number one pairing up front, depending, of course, on the winger, but as a pairing up front, center and winger, number one line moving forward at some point?
I think they have a legitimate chance, and I'll tell you why. I think Nick Suzuki can be a point-a-game player. So if he's an 82 to 86-point player, that's a first-line player. If Cole Caulfield can get to 30 to 35 goals, that's a first-line player. So the answer is they're tied together, and I do believe they can do that. I do. Now, it depends on who's on the opposite side, obviously. But I think the Canadiens, again, people have to understand, you know, what Kent and Jeff have inherited is not exactly a rose garden, so they've got to fix a lot of things. And I think they're on their way to doing that. I really do. I think they've made some really good decisions.
Well, because right now, that's one of the reasons I think Gallagher will hit 20, because Mike Hoffman, he's hurt now. He was given the first opportunity to play with those two guys. He's another player I know you're not terribly high on. He's locked in for two more years. Josh Anderson is going to get a shot. I don't know if he's ideal for those two guys. You're gonna fill us in on this. There's Slefkovsky. He's not ready. And I think Gallagher's going to end up playing with him by process of elimination, and that's why he'll score more than 20. But ideally, who is the prototype for those two guys specifically to play on the right wing moving forward for this franchise? What kind of player do you think will end up there?
Cam Neely, the president of the Boston Bruins. Can you get him?
Even now, huh?
No, Cam, yeah. But no, that would be a perfect prototype. I think now it depends on whether you can you have to decide whether you can is he's mobile or not. I still think his upside is massive. People have to not beat this kid down. He's gonna be a star player in the league. And people will say, holy mackerel. Like, this guy's really good. But you need a bigger, more robust, good skating, playmaking kind of a go-to-the-net player. And I think that's if you get that on that line, you're going to have a lot of success with Nick and with Cole. You will. You'll have a lot of success.
Pierre, I think we all agree that he's maybe not ready to be a first-line player, Juraj Slafkovský, right now. I think if everything was equal and everyone was healthy going into the year, I think the Canadiens would maybe like to see him start the season in Laval. But with all these injuries, he's likely going to start the year in Montreal. How do you set him up for success early in the season?
Manage his minutes. Give him sugar time on the power play. Make sure matchups, especially at home, where he can control a little bit better, are appropriate. Make sure that he's insulated on the back end, you know, and that's something the coaches have to talk about. So he's not exposed in his own zone against better matchups, especially on the road. There's different coaching strategy you can deploy, but I don't think there's going to be a huge learning curve for him. I mean, I know it's not looking great right now, but let's be fair here. Go look at what Nathan MacKinnon did when he was in Colorado to start. Go look at Gabriel Landeskog and what it was like when he started there. These kids didn't start on good teams. There's a reason why they were picked as early as they are. With the teams that they are, they were picked on teams that weren't set. So I'm just telling you right now, and I'm not trying to compare him to those two players, but I'm trying to make it fair. I'm bullish on this player. I think this player is going to be phenomenal. I saw him as much or more than any European-born player last year in Europe when I was there. And I'm just telling you, he's going to be really special. I thought the Canadiens did an amazing job at the draft last summer. I really did.
That I'm learning new things and that I work with probably, I would say, one of the best people that know the hockey in NHL, all the skills coaches and Marty and all the coaches. Yeah, it's just good that I got to this organization and they are really helpful, and that's, I think, the biggest thing, that I'm learning new stuff and they are helping me. Yeah, sure, every day all my friends and my family, we are in touch every day. They try to also help me and try to help me build my confidence, and yeah. They are really good, and I'm happy that I have that great family and best friends.
How about that? Right there on and off the ice, the kind of help and guidance he's getting from the Canadiens and from his actual family.
I saw him play in Turku so much, and I saw him in Hämeenlinna, and I saw him in Helsinki. And this is a special player. This is a special player. And he was not treated extremely well by the coaching staff where he was. I didn't think he got the proper attention in Turku. That's not a knock on the coaches. He's just a young kid playing in a men's league. He's 17 years old. But can you imagine, Mitch, if you and I got airlifted to Slovakia as 18-year-olds and we were asked to do an interview in Slovak, how we would do?
Yeah, I'd run away and hide, actually.
We all would. We all would. My hat is off to that young man. And he's going to be, the Canadians got a tremendous player. He's going to be a star player in the league. He will be a star player in the league.
All right, Pierre, we're going to talk to you again on Monday before you go. Andy, is there something you wanted to mention?
I just wanted to thank you, Pierre, officially for sending my dad such a nice message. You know, he really needs his spirits perked up at this time, and you know, you're a busy guy, you didn't have to do that, and I just want you to know how much I appreciate it.
Well, Jack and I have a good friendship. We love talking hockey. We were exchanging text messages today. Even when I was driving, believe it or not, to get to Hamilton, I was doing, I don't know, this new thing. What's the lady's name, Mitch, that you can like send voicemails that end up being text messages?
Siri?
Anyway.
Or Alexa.
Yeah, Siri, there you go. Siri. I was using Siri today. I just wanted to say, I was going to close the show, Andy. You're such a good friend, but I wanted to close the show by saying, Jack, you just go out there and fight your butt off, and I know you're going to do it, and I will stay in touch with you the whole time.
Have a great weekend, Pierre. Talk to you Monday.
Thanks a lot, Mitch. Take care. Yeah, for sure.
Happy birthday to John Mellencamp. Oh, my goodness, he's 71. John, what's happening? CF?
CF Montreal close out their season on Sunday when they take on Inter Miami. They do have a chance to potentially vault past Philadelphia Union to be the first team in MLS's Eastern Conference. But like I said, TFC are not sending their best players to take on Philly.
All right. You're right. Have a great weekend. Be careful out there on the roads. It's a crazy old world we live in, and sometimes you need to relax. And when the night